What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, everybody? It is a Monday night here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. We're going to talk all things Monday Night Raw and more in the pro wrestling world. Good evening, everybody. I'm Justin Lohr, coming to you live alongside our newest acquisition on Monday nights. Every single Monday night, she is the one and the only Emily May. Emily, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I don't know if you're a huge baseball fan, but I know many fans were trying to go back and forth watching Raw and the Dodger game. As you can see, I'm sporting my Dodger blue.
Yeah, you got split attention tonight, so I'll see how that comes
out. And I got my Dodger dog.
Look at you, the Dodger dog.
No. So anyway, but
very cool. For those of you watching and listening to us live, do apologize. We are a few minutes later than normal. Our esteemed leader on Monday nights, Jack Farmer, was intending to be with us. The technical issues are kind of ravaging him right now. So that's where we are here. Don't know if he'll get to jump in with us or not. If not, we wish you the best, Jack, and we will be back with you on the next episode, hopefully possible. So that being said, Em and I are not going to let this night go away without not doing this podcast and not talking all that is going on that needs to be talked about. Let's start with, before we get to tonight's Raw, let's start with NXT. Yesterday, Em, they were in Hershey's kicking off Halloween Havoc. And a lot to take away. Obviously, you don't want to like go through the entire card, but just high level, your thoughts on Halloween Havoc. What do you take away from it?
I mean, Halloween Havoc is one of my favorite shows of the year. Anytime NXT puts that on, it is so much fun. I loved all of the costumes and the Halloween spooky themes. We had some new champions and also some champions that retained. I think it was just a really fantastic night. And it looked like everyone had a really fun time. And that's like really came through on the event.
Yeah, absolutely did. Love seeing NXT's back out on the road in arenas. Mm-hmm. That's great to see. Got to give a shout out
to Dave LaGreca.
You beat me to it. Shout out to my Busted Open compadres. You know, yesterday did Busted Open as I do every single Sunday, myself and Jonathan Hood from 9 a.m. to noon. And it was about 11:25 in our third hour. We're in the middle of our third hour. And all of a sudden, Bully Ray is on the phone. Producer goes, Bully wants to talk. I said, okay. And Bully drops it on us that he's on his way to Hershey. And that he's going to be him and LaGreca are going to be at Halloween Havoc. And then we see what we see. So a lot of exciting stuff going on in NXT. And now it's bleeding over into the Busted Open world. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Shout out to Keon Robinson, Super Chat, saying big fan of the show. We appreciate that very much. All right. So Halloween Havoc was Sunday night. But then we also, on Saturday night, if you were watching some pro wrestling, specifically TNA, John Layfield is popping up all over the place. A lot of speculation about him. We'll get to him in a moment as a wrestler, but how about this news? Apparently JBL is now part of the AAA ownership in Mexico.
Huge.
This was not on the bingo. 2024 has been a wild year, but this was not on the bingo card.
I mean, there's a lot of wild things that have happened in 2024. You're right. This was not on my bingo card. I mean, we've seen JBL kind of pop up in various promotions the last few months, making a statement as he always does. So I feel like this is just the beginning of his global takeover.
Yeah. And you know, we have seen, other examples of wrestlers, you know, male wrestlers, especially, you know, leave WWE and go on their own kind of like personal tour around the world in the pro wrestling space and redefine themselves in a little bit. You know, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, those are two names that just come right to mind. And then they make their way back to WWE at some point. You know, JBL, I thought, kind of thought all of his best years were behind him, and that, you know, he was a commentator for a lot of years. I just kind of didn't think that we'd be seeing that, but yet here we are, this back half of 2024, he is making moves.
I mean, I saw him recently. It's October, so I saw him back in September, and he was like in the best shape I've seen in his life. And what's amazing is like we're at this amazing point in wrestling where we have all these Hall of Famers and legends coming back, mm-hmm. and having appearances and doing promotions that they haven't been able to do when they were in WWE. And so it's this whole new era for these legends. And so we're seeing these new chapters later in their careers. Example, Lillian Garcia coming back after 8 years.
Absolutely.
So it's really amazing to see. And I think it's just the beginning. We're going to see more and more of this.
You know what I find interesting, though, when I read this news today about JBL joining the management of AAA, the management or ownership, or what's the actual technical? No ownership. Okay. So, you know, when I thought about that, I'm like, all right, you know, things like this in pro wrestling don't happen by accident. They're not, rarely are they things that happen on a whim. And JBL, of course, is a veteran of the pro wrestling business. He's also a very smart guy. We all know that we've got to know that he's Wall Street guru, and he's not the Justin Hawk Bradshaw cowboy that we might have all once thought to think he is in the late 90s. And so I'm seeing this move happen. I'm like, you know, why would he join the ownership of one of the most prominent wrestling promotions in Mexico? And then I go, well, you know, we've known for a while that WWE, specifically on the NXT brand and all, that they want to infiltrate Mexico more. They wanted to do that prior to 2020 pandemic. And now they're picking back up with it. You know, where we've seen the signings that they're making, both men and women's talent. You know, I fully expect, as they do these PLEs now all around the world, I fully expect in 2025 a PLE in Mexico. I can't help but wonder, is this part of a bigger play of having somebody like JBL there who could help be like a liaison to WWE?
He could be the liaison. They could start a small training center down there before they're ready to come to the United States. Like there's so many possibilities. If you had all of these legends in these kind of like that, the territory system, but in all of these different countries, in Japan, you had liaisons, in the UK, you had liaisons, and you were able to kind of scout talent and just have it full time. Where they're there, they know what the system is like to go through and to train and to and what WWE is looking for and what they want. So that is like the smart move to like put your little like scouting coaches and plants kind of in the areas that you want to take over and have a premium live event or even a training center in the future.
Yeah. 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 Right. If they wanted a performance center in Mexico City, I mean, I don't know. Interesting to watch, but I was trying to figure out, like, it kind of came out of left field to me. I didn't see that coming, but there's got to be a reason. So we'll stay tuned with it.
Do you think he'll be involved in any, like, storylines?
Well, I mean, so that kind of goes to the next thing I was going to bring up here. You know, Dave Meltzer, you know, was discussing that he thinks that JBL could possibly be coming out of retirement to do some matches. I mean, obviously, we've seen him get, you know, physically involved, you know, in his appearances in TNA. He's popping up, and I think he popped up GCW, I believe. So, yeah, I don't think he's coming out and just doing a few clotheslines for randomness. I think there's a greater plan, you know.
I mean, because the Rock is technically not an owner, he's on of TKO, but he's on the board of directors and he's part of storylines. So I think there's definitely some parallels and possibilities.
Absolutely. And JBL, I mean, I feel like in Mexico, JBL could play just a killer heel.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that fits perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, I think he said in his comments about the ownership, we're gonna make Mexico great. I mean, that's a pretty powerful phrase in these days right now.
It has some undertones.
It does. But, yeah, it does. All right. Well, talking about some legendary names and also keeping with some TNA mentions here. So it looks like we're finding out from Dave Meltzer on a recent Wrestling Observer Radio that there might have been an opportunity to have AJ Styles inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame, but WWE wasn't quite on board with that. Maybe they didn't want to allow that to happen right now. So this is interesting. You know, obviously, maybe nobody more than AJ Styles embodies the most positive of TNA's legacy. And we're seeing WWE/NXT have this kind of working relationship with TNA. So if it was ever going to happen, you'd think it'd be at a time right now. Well, your reaction to, if assuming what Dave is saying here is true, reaction to this?
I mean, assuming all of that it's accurate, you know, I take everything, you know, with the grain of salt here. It's all about timing, right? Just like when they get together, the WWE Hall of Fame inductions, they have to think about who they're going to induct. Does it make sense in that year? So maybe it's a timing thing, and you don't know if AJ Styles was like, hey, maybe not right now. From what I understand, TNA and NXT have a fantastic relationship. So it might not even be like WWE saying, oh, you're not allowed to do this. We're not going to allow it. It might just be a timing thing where it's like, no, maybe they have some things planned for him that just don't fit into the schedule and things like that. So I'm not taking it yet as a slight at all. I think it might be a logistics thing.
Yeah. If not a slight, but if there is kind of like a, let's keep control of things, AJ Styles is our talent. If there is any of that from WWE, I could perhaps see an explanation of, no, we want him to go into our Hall of Fame. We want him to be a WWE Hall of Famer first. For nothing else other than just optics and just, you know, he's our guy. We're the one paying him. We don't want him to be a TNA Hall of Famer first, and then we induct him as if like we're like late to recognize him. And they might not want to put him in the WWE Hall of Fame yet if his in-ring career is not completely wrapped up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where I first thought it was, just them keeping control of the situation.
Yeah, I know people in the chat mentioned that reason as well. And it could be an optics thing too in relation to that WWE wants him, like wants to do that honor once he's finished with his in-ring career.
Yeah.
Because again, there's only been you would probably remember the number, but of like active roster members that have been inducted. So,
yeah. So it'd be interesting to watch for. I have to assume it's probably something that affect. I mean, and I don't have the list in front of me who's in the TNA Hall of Fame, but I don't know how much crawl. I mean, obviously Kurt Angle, I believe is, but I mean, there's probably a limited crossover list, I'd imagine, between the two right now. All right. Also on the TNA show, some unfortunate news here. One of the tag team stars, Chris Bay, he was involved in the main event and unfortunately serious injury suffered. Whereas Fightful Select is reporting that Bay went to the hospital with a neck injury, underwent a successful surgery. So good that the surgery was successful, but it's still scary as hell. And beyond confirming that the injury involved his neck, is still in recovery. Not much more known for right now. He's a very well-liked guy by the locker room, by the business in general, by the media. So not that if he was disliked, it'd be like any better, but you know, really sad news here about Chris Bay.
Yeah. This is really heartbreaking news. I've worked with him many times. Always such a joy to work with. You know, I'm sure we'll learn more details, you know, as things come out, but I just wish him well. And I hope that he can bounce back. I know that there's a GoFundMe circulating as well. To just help out, just because it was so sudden, you know, he had to go into surgery right away. I hope he gets better and is in a good place out of surgery. Recovering from stuff like that is not easy.
Yeah, I mean, any surgery is serious, but when you're talking about the neck,
yeah,
that's just, you know, sad news. Hopefully he does all the best to his recovery and the road to getting better. All right, last piece of news before we jump into Raw here. Again, more kind of backstage scuttlebutt speculation. Once again, coming from Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Radio, talking about two tag teams that might be on the brink of splitting up in the WWE world. First, DIY, Gargano and Ciampa. We saw them this past Friday lose to the Motor City Machine Guns, and there was just the slightest bit of, you know, seemed like tension as the two were leaving the ring, leaving the ringside area. So that there, before you comment on that one, M, also another one, Street Profits. This one feels like it's been kind of just there for a long time. A lot of speculation of, like, you know, who's going to be the Shawn Michaels, who's going to be the Jannetty out of this. I think Montez Ford really piques a lot of people's interest if this guy has the charisma to be a superstar. You know, supposedly WWE's wanted to do Street Profits breakup prior to now, but that it's been actually the Street Profits themselves that haven't been wanting that. They don't think that would be best for maybe their creative as individuals. So a lot to, again, it's a lot of speculation, but I truly, especially with DIY, it does seem like on screen they're moving towards that direction.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, Justin, like, we've tracked kind of their tag team records. We've kind of seen the frustrations in both of those tag teams between their partners. So I feel like this is kind of, we all have been thinking it, that both of these teams might be better doing a singles run. And so, like, it's not shocking if they kind of decide to move that direction. I think we would all see it coming.
Yeah, I mean, and as good as better as WWE's creative has been in the last few years under Triple H's regime, you know, it's still a challenge at any time when you split up a tag team to have good creative for both of them going their separate ways. You know, I mean, look at Imperium. Yeah. Of Kaiser was really good, you know, it still is getting over with his mic work, with the way that he'd introduce Gunther, with his, the way he'd walk, and the entire way he carried himself. And Vinci was just, Vinci was kind of the, he became the other guy. And that's literally how their storyline played out. you're the other guy.
And it's very hard to have a tag team where you have equal moments, right? Like a really good tag team, you have equal superstardom, right? But sometimes you have one that is going to outshine the other, and that's when they break up and you have your, they go off and are singles competitors. So you can kind of see that happening with both of these teams. I think it's a natural process that happens. So yeah, I mean, we'll see how it unfolds storyline wise and what happens, but.
Yeah. And with DIY, so with them, we've seen them together and apart on a few different iterations here, stemming from NXT days into the main roster days. And I like both of them individually. I like them even better when they're together, but I do kind of, I do feel that, like, they've done what they're going to do as a tag team. It's just, you know, we have new tag teams like Motor City Machine Guns coming in.
New champs.
Right. I mean, you know, the Viking Raiders are war Raiders. They feel refreshed. You know, you got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. I mean, like, there's a lot going on in the tag division as they're trying to build the depth back up. So what's interesting to me about DIY is that we've seen them apart and seen them together. When they're apart, the most interesting thing that WWE has had for them is for when they're feuding and fighting each other. They, Ciampa and Gargano, make magic. When they're single stars and they're not feuding each other, there hasn't been a lot of great traction and momentum. So
yeah, it kind of falls flat a little.
Yeah.
So. I mean, but we're also, like, I know it's different. I mean, but we also have NXT tag teams that are developing. We saw at Halloween Havoc some incredible tag team action, you know? So, like, I feel like all the brands are developing their tag team division, and it's been a long time coming where there's going to be a really stacked tag team division in all three of these brands, and it's just going to help overall where these championship feuds and things and, you know, and storylines can go.
Well, and the doorway into NXT has definitely been more two-way lately in the last year or so. Maybe Gargano and or Ciampa, one or both, maybe they find themselves back in NXT, and that's not a slight. That's not we're sending you down to AAA. I mean, NXT is fully established themselves as a third alternative brand. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I don't think it would be, especially if their money's not getting, especially if their contracts aren't going down in monetary value. I don't think it would be a downgrade.
Mm-hmm. And they excelled so much while they were there and had banger matches. So it's, you know, and we've seen the main roster go to NXT and put over some incredible talent. So
sure.
You know, I there's no, like, it's not a negative thing to go there and have some stuff happen.
Not at all.
We all know a great worker when we see one, and that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two old field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9 to 5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FiveNineWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
All right, let's jump into Monday Night Raw, and we'll start right off. Speaking of tag teams that, you know, have split and what have you, we start the show with brother and brother staring at each other, Jimmy and Jay, and Jimmy's ready to declare we are, you know, he's ready to embrace it all again. He's ready to pick back up where the Usos left off, but Jay, not so fast, basically telling him, if we do this, we're the stars. We're nobody's yes men. We're not going to fall into the trap of becoming henchmen, lackeys, whatever the case may be, to the point of where Jimmy says, all right, why don't you come to SmackDown and talk to the OTC? Let's get everything right and straight. They then fight off Solo and his bloodline, who makes an appearance. So there's that whole thing. So not really too much different that's advanced here, just establishing that they are ready to get back together. But we later then see Sami Zayn come across and want to talk to Jey Uso. He's skeptical of Jey getting himself back involved with Jimmy and Roman. And then the final piece of the soap opera in the night, as Jimmy and Jey are leaving the building, they spy a little Sami Zayn talking to Solo in the parking lot. Oh, drama, drama, drama. M, pick it up anywhere you want here.
Ultimate soap opera right here. I mean, we know Sami Zayn's been rejected. You know, he's not family. He's not part of the bloodline. I know he was, you know, supposedly honorary, but he's not. What he did tonight was not honorable.
No, not honorable.
Yeah, not honorable. So Sami Zayn talking to Solo, like, this is bad. This is bad news. Because just the deceit, it's going to bring Jimmy and Jay together for sure. They're going to go talk to Roman. They're going to make this, you know, reunification happen. But I think we're going to get a huge feud match here. Sami Zayn's gonna get in the mix.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, look, it was proven before that the Sami wildcard factor was very entertaining and compelling, of him wanting to be an honorary US member and who got along with him. It was really well done stuff. And then so I see no problem revisiting some of those same dynamics that worked, and you once again presumably are gonna have a goal line. An endpoint to aim for, because it seems like I think you would agree we're probably heading towards Survivor Series with all this.
Yeah,
and you have Solo's bloodline, and you know, first Jimmy and Roman, Jimmy saying we need help, we need Jay. All right, well now we think we got Jay back. Well, Jay's gonna want to then bring up on Sami, or Sammy's gonna want to come help and be a fourth man to round out the team, and that dynamic's there. So this is what WWE's done the best is this layered storytelling.
And I like you said, that layered storyline. There's a lot of trust issues here, mm-hmm. right? So you have a lot of trust issues. You know, Jay and Jimmy, they're not going to just be like, okay, we're together again. It just doesn't happen overnight. So there's going to be a little baby steps. We saw it a little bit closer tonight. Mm-hmm. And I want to get Roman's thought process on this as well. What does he think of Sami? What does he think about Jay and Jimmy kind of, you know, repairing their relationship? I think there's a lot to unpack here, and yeah, it is leading to Survivor Series, but I just I just know there's so many opportunities for people to stab each other in the back.
Yes.
This big of a family and that's this what, big of a bloodline.
That's what makes the best soap opera, right?
I mean, we need some more evil twins and someone to come out of a coma. And we need all this drama. We need some long lost sons and daughters to come popping up. Just add to the soap opera.
We need paternity tests. We need the whole works. And what I love is there's great potential too, because like obviously we know it's going to be like, all right, you know, everybody's going to be in everybody's ear about with an opinion on this, you know, like I could see Roman saying, Jay, it's good to have you back, but hey, just mind you, if you're coming back, like I don't need none of that Sami Zayn nonsense. I don't need, you know, he was talking to Solo. I love that. And then I also love that while you're in SmackDown, I could see Cody Rhodes approaching a Roman and saying, I know it's not my family, it's not my business, but you know, you got some of your boys wanting to bring on Sami Zayn. Let me remind you, Sami Zayn was once best friends with Kevin Owens, and I'm learning all about how these French Canadians stab people in the back. So like, there's like everybody's gonna have a say. Everybody's gonna be in somebody's ear about this.
Well, and I'm wondering, like, does Cody have any, like, does he have any obligation to give Roman a heads up?
He is because he's not going to want to see Solo's bloodline, especially, you know, when The Rock has to pop back up. I think he's going to want to see Solo's bloodline not take over his Friday Night Brands. I think that he would feel compelled to say, look, I know it's not my business, not my family, but I feel like it's worth reminding you who Sami Zayn's been associated with. And I'm dealing with this guy, Kevin Owens, firsthand. So you just can't trust him.
Yeah, I agree that there's a lot of intricacies to this that could kind of unfold in any possible way.
If you're a creative writer, it's what you want. You want all these pieces to be able to play with and history to call upon. All right, let's go to some more drama. This is drama that's already based on Monday Night Raw. This is Dominic Mysterio versus Damian Priest. Now, going into the night, we did not know who Dominic's opponent was going to be. All we were told was former world champion, but Adam Pearce would reveal that backstage earlier in the night. And Dom is really feeling like he needs to prove that he can do this. And the rest of Judgment Day, specifically Finn, not so sure if he can. So we do get this as our main event match of the night. And through some outside interference and distractions, Dom is going to roll up Damian Priest. So Dom gets the victory in the record books, but for his troubles, Priest gives him a whooping with the chair. So I mean this was kind of, this Raw was not the most, I mean it wasn't the best, it wasn't a bad Raw, but it was not the, you know, there's this was just definitely a Raw that just building, you know, obviously it's a go home Raw to Crown Jewel Saturday, it's a build to Survivor Series. That's what this was, a lot of build. It was just a chapter that was necessary for story. So not the biggest thing to go off the air with. We've certainly seen Dom get his ass beat before, so that's not necessarily new and novel. But I took this as Priest obviously wants to get back into the world title picture. He made that clear a week or two ago to Gunther. So this kind of felt like reminding and positioning Priest now as a babyface that he should be a serious title contender.
Yeah, I mean, this moment tonight was a show of strength for Priest, because even though he didn't get the win, I think the strength at post-match, the fact that he took on the rest of the Judgment Day, gave Dom, you know, the chair, and then like you close out on that really strong stance of Damian standing tall, even post all the chaos, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what he was trying to prove, right? But I feel like we've been seeing Dom and Liv and all of the Judgment Day. I knew, like, watching this match, I was like, they're going to come out. They're going to cause this match to go in Dom's favor because we've seen it before. So history keeps repeating itself in regards to the Judgment Day. So I feel like Damian Priest needs to find, again, who he's going to go after next, because he's never really going to have a clear championship picture, path to victory, if Judgment Day kind of keeps distracting him. So I think, again, it was a show of strength. And he just has to, like, I think he needs to shift his focus a little bit.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that, you know, obviously Priest was, you know, he was champion earlier in the year as a heel with Judgment Day. Now he's a babyface out of Judgment Day. He wants to get back in that title picture and challenge Gunther.
Yeah.
But it's almost like it'll be hard to focus on that as a viewer as long as he's still got Judgment Day stuff going on. It's just going to be a constant distraction. It's like they got to finally, like, they got to give some finite ending to he and Judgment Day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be hard for him to concentrate, not as a viewer, but for him.
Yeah.
Because if he's getting distracted by all of his past feelings and Rhea's past feelings and all of this and this rivalry, like, he's can't go after Gunther.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to, like, close this chapter, and hopefully they don't get in the way of any of his other championships.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he stood tall and looked dominant. I mean, it is still an L. Yeah. He did lose. So I mean, in theory, that's not supposed to move you up the rankings to be a number one contender. But we'll see where this goes here. I definitely feel like we're coming towards, like, there's still a thirst by the audience. It's clear there's still a thirst to see Rhea get her hands on Dom at any point. Rhea could still get her hands on Liv. There's obviously now Raquel back in the situation. I feel like there's a lot more meat on the bone still for Rhea to feud with Judgment Day, but I do kind of feel like I don't know what more I really want to see with them and Priest.
Yeah.
And I like all characters and parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like any one is, like, boring me or anything like that. I don't know what more I really need to see done.
Yeah. And maybe that's, like, the feeling I'm having too, is I feel like I love all of them individually, and then together, like, you know, Priest and Ripley together, really great. You know, Judgment Day, the new incarnation is really fun. But it's like a formula. How many matchups and how many different scenarios can you do? And that's like where we're getting to at this point.
And obviously Finn and his issues with Damian when they were both at Judgment Day, that was clear. They foreshadowed all that, and that eventually came to a head.
Yeah, and it did. Yeah.
But even now, even tonight, Finn was the most vocal of doubting Dom, and was the first to walk off backstage. So, like, there's still there's still, I guess, maybe more disintegration to come. There's more.
Exactly. Like, more Judgment Day members are going to be like, Dom, we don't like you. Like, it's, you know, I think there's more I like that word, disintegration of Judgment Day.
All right, we'll keep watching. It's what we're here for, and we'll talk about it. It's what we also do here. All right, let's move to something else that's also been going on for months, albeit with a little bit of a break in there to sell the injury, but I am here for it every time, and that is Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed. Seth comes out cutting a promo, and then Bronson Reed pops up on the screen. He's out in the parking lot, of course. Both men have said they wouldn't cause Adam Pearce any more heartache in the building and disrupt his show, but what about on the parking lot? And so that's where Seth says, don't you move, big boy. I'll be there in a moment. And we follow him out, and they once again have a brawl in the parking lot. Seth gives him the curb stomp on the hood of a car. Great call by Joe Tessitore, if he just made him a hood ornament. And then they sell it. It's awesome camera work. So, like, Bronson looks like he's done, and all security's checking on him. And Rollins walks away, and just as he gets ready to make his declaration of victory into the camera, up from the rubble comes Bronson Reed. Yeah, they fight some more, and then he gives him a Death Valley driver off the inside of a tractor trailer into a bunch of tables. So we continue the formula M with Bronson Reed, whether it is with Seth Rollins, whether it's with Braun Strowman, of the car crash super monster movie where it's just big explosion after big explosion after big explosion.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. Bronson Reed is built for this. He's this big, huge monster, this big Godzilla, the King Kongs of King Kongs. Like, this is what he's made to do. He just is terrifying. Building these big moments, these big segments. This feud is so much fun. I mean, one thing I do have to say is you mentioned Adam Pearce is slightly upset trying to, like, contain his roster, but he called Nick Aldis, you know, earlier. Like, both of these general managers need to get everyone under control. It seems like everything's spiraling. So both of them need to get it under control. Back to Rollins and Bronson Reed. This was just, like, really fun. Like, it was a great kind of, it wasn't truly a match. It was a brawl.
No, yeah, yeah, they're matches. Actually, are they advertised officially for Crown Jewel, or is that still?
I think it's still pending.
Is that still pending?
If I'm wrong, correct us in the chat.
Yeah, hang on, Google might.
We're covering. We're covering Crown Jewel. After the. Oh my gosh, my brain.
Yeah,
it is here.
According to the internet, which is never wrong, it is officially on
Saturday.
Yeah, it's officially on the Crown Jewel card. Okay, so
no, we'll talk about it at the post show of Crown Jewel here at Wrestling Inc. So join us on Saturday, probably afternoon at that point.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this is a great spot for Seth. I mean, he's done everything there is to do in the company, right? He's won every title. He's done it all. Like, so this is a really cool spot to use for his veteran. You know, the veteran rub of like, look, you know, earlier this year, he's involved in a WrestleMania program with Roman Reigns, The Rock, Cody Rhodes. I mean, and so this is big for Bronson Reed, whose stock's been on the rise gradually this year. So I like this use of Seth Rollins. He doesn't need to be chasing any titles right now. This is good. I'm really curious to see what is next for Bronson Reed after this, because, you know, Gunther has some weird things that are likable about him, he's still on the heel side of the dressing room.
So funny on the mic.
Unless they do one of those gradual turns to where then all of a sudden his opponents are heels and it's like it's okay to cheer for Gunther because he's just such a badass. Kind of the way that Brock it got to at a certain point where they just like let people cheer for Brock being able to just destruct people. Suplex City. You know, unless it gets to that, it's like, all right, so Bronson's not really going to go after Gunther. I don't see Gunther losing his world title anytime soon. So it's like, all right, Bronson's not going to be in that world title picture. Does he need to be in a title picture, or can we have another veteran? Could another vet like a Sheamus, or, you know, could somebody else step up and we basically do the same thing that he just did with Rollins, but continue to have Bronson just show that he's dominant and just get more and more W's off of these future Hall of Famers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bronson, I like that route of Bronson just like going through all of these, like these veterans, these future Hall of Famers, just like going through them and just getting all of these wins. I think that would like add to his scary monster factor. But I also see him going after Gunther eventually. But I feel like Gunther's character and his kind of his way of holding himself has to shift a little bit, because it would be too similar people, which could work. It doesn't have to be a traditional heel versus face match. It could be heel versus heel. Why not? But I think you got to build up to that. Because Gunther is actually really likable right now. He's kind of on the borderline of like, he does heel moves and things in the ring, but on the mic, he's so likable. With some heelish words. Yeah. So it's a weird mix right now. But Bronson Reed is just a beast right now, and I think he deserves to go after a title picture.
Yeah. As long as he keeps moving up the card. I don't necessarily need a title, just move up the card. That's why I like the whole let's find some vets that he can
exactly, you know, yeah.
He can work with. All right, keep it rolling here on the podcast. Thanks to everybody who is joining us live. If you are not joining us live and you are choosing to listen to this audio via podcast form later in the day, later in your week, what have you, that's fine. Tweet at both of us. Let us know, where in the world are you when you are consuming this podcast? Are you on the commute to work? Are you ignoring your boss? Are you ignoring your spouse? Are you cleaning around the house?
All of the above.
What are you doing? I'd love to know where you're taking us and your listening device. A bug that just flew in the studio here. I'd love to know. Tweet at us. Tweet at Justin Lavar. Tweet at Emily May Heller. And let us know where you are enjoying this podcast. Okay, up next, let's talk about the fun dynamics that are the Alpha Academy, R-Truth, Miz, Final Testament, Wyatt Six. Kind of just a big old everybody's running around backstage, kind of chaos. So you have the Final Testament, who we now know that they are kind of like the latest targets to the Wyatt Six. So there's that. Miz, who's like, doesn't want to be an island of his own. He wants to get back with R-Truth, but R-Truth gave him a nice shot to the face. So R-Truth's not having it. So Miz, trying not to be the sitting duck on an island of his own with the Wyatt Six lurking around, but he doesn't really want to be part of the Final Testament. But Karrion Kross has tasked him and said, you're going to find out. You're going to go find Bo Dallas. we're gonna get this group, and if you don't, I'm gonna break your legs. So I the mean, Miz is just unwillingly now at the mercy. He's like a hostage for hire for the final testament.
Yeah, this is just bad news for the Miz. Like, the Miz has a family. The Miz should be smarter about the decisions he makes. And again, there's a lot of trust issues between former teams, former friends. And you can see that again in this moment too. R-Truth isn't quite ready. R-Truth is smart. R-Truth is like, nope, I'm staying away from Wyatt Six. This is R-Truth, very smart man.
What is he hit the Miz, he goes, Wyatt's gonna kill you.
Like, very smart. But yeah, the Miz has got himself in a little trouble that he's gonna have to find his way out of. But what I'm excited to see is how this all will again unfold, in the sense of now the Miz is going to be the target.
Yeah.
And
so I like,
and anywhere we've seen them take over shows, we've seen, you know, the Wyatt Six kind of cause havoc. So
once the Wyatt Six, once it became clear they had beaten, you know, Chad Gable and crew enough times, and it was like, all right, this is done. It's ran its course. I had said somewhere on here, on social, wherever, somewhere it's on the record. I had said, okay, the only other group that I could see on the current Raw roster for them to feud with, is assuming the Wyatts are going to remain babyfaces, it was the Final Testament.
Yeah.
One, because the Final Testament is a group, so not in terms of numbers, and Final Testament has Scarlett, so there's a woman to for Nikki Cross's character to play off of. Also, the Final Testament just really didn't have a lot going on creatively, so again, there's something there. The Wyatt Six is still a tribute to Bray Wyatt, so the crowd's not really going to want to boo it, so you're not going to try to push them as heels. So I like, so saying, having said all that, that's what is happening. I like them throwing the wild card in of having like the Miz, the reluctant recruit for Final Testament. I hope they get as many miles out of this as they can, because again, I don't know after that, like, okay, you probably have to shift with the Wyatt Six, and it can't all just be all of them traveling as a group together. We probably got to have one or two of them or something start to rise above the group. Like, okay, yeah, we're gonna put focus on Uncle Howdy and a single feud for him, or we're gonna have two of the members jump into the tag division. Like, it's I don't think they can continue just to travel as a group and just be spooky and menacing. We're gonna have to, by the time we get to 2025, we're gonna have to start to put like some more meat on the bone with this, so to speak. Like Uncle Howdy wanting to really fulfill what Bray Wyatt left behind, something to that effect, you know?
Yeah, there has to be more definition.
Thank you. I said meat on the bone. Definition's a better way to go about
it. Yeah, definition to both of these groups, right?
Yeah.
And what is gonna make this rivalry a big deal, right? Is it going to be like, which two members are going to go after each other? Which single members are going to go after each other? Cause it can't be fully like, you know, for example, like the Judgment Day, they kind of travel together all the time, it seems like, but like having six members go after each other all the time, it gets chaotic, which the chaos is really fun to watch at the right moments.
Mm-hmm.
And sporadically, but if you had the Wyatt Six come out and just destroy every opponent every time, it's gonna like get redundant. So you gotta find like where those like roller coaster of emotions are, and those little storyline points. But yeah, I think the definition of both of these groups, why they're going after each other, you know. Again, we've talked a lot about tag teams breaking up. Is there going to ever be, at any chance down the line, some stabbing each other in the back, some deceit, some things that might break some of these members off, and have either new members or it gets smaller? It's all different, variety of things that could happen.
I like the fact though that the Wyatt Six was obviously a big deal when they debuted, and I like that it's become established and accepted that they don't have to be on every week. And then when their feud was with Gable and American Maid was kind of wrapped up, you know, they were off for a month or whatever it was, and credit to WWE and them and everything, when they resurfaced and started making their attentions towards Final Testament, like the crowd was chanting like, this is awesome, or holy ass. Like, I mean, like, it's still, there's still a novelty to see these crazy characters live and in living color to these live crowds. They're making it. So, you know, I think there's a credit to be there, but yeah, I'll be curious to see what this, you know, I said it's disintegration earlier with Judgment Day. Maybe Judgment Day continues to disintegrate, and you know, maybe another member or two leaves off. And maybe what the next version of Judgment Day is, whether that's JD, Finn, and Carlito alongside Raquel, maybe that is the next group that deals with the Wyatt Six. I don't know, but
yeah, maybe that's like the only, maybe the only way the Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline, his, you know, new Bloodline gets taken out is Wyatt Six. Maybe it needs to do a little bit more.
That would be a choice, because that would be a fine, fine line of walking, like, because the Wyatt Six is they're already an interesting blend. There's a very real reality to them that that the person that their entire group is basically paying homage to is a real life person who tragically passed away. So there's real humanity there, but then there's like this, there's the crazy supernatural to it. So to have a group like that cross paths with the Bloodline, that would be well, I'm not saying it couldn't work, but that would be fascinating to watch how they would pull something off like that.
It might challenge everyone on a different level.
Oh, that, if you're in the writer's room, that's some homework. You're going home, you're scratching your head for a little bit. You got some homework.
I'm giving people homework. I'm passing it out. What's the extra credit though? I always was into that.
You strike me as an extra credit person. You strike me as I stayed up the last night just to squeak by with the B minus, and then your ass had to go to the extra credit, and you screwed the grading curve up.
No comment, Justin. Uh-huh. No comment. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Don't look at my report cards.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was the kid that asked for extra credit at the end of class. Like, this is why I got beat up, Justin. You didn't believe me.
Oh, no, you didn't really get beat up, did you?
I did.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah. That's why I got into wrestling, you know? You gotta learn some moves. Take those bullies down.
Well, you're probably doing better than all those bullies now, so good look at you. All right.
Anyway, back to Raw.
Anyway, back to the track meant to travel here. All right, LWO versus New Day versus War Raiders, number one contender tournament finals here for the tag titles, to be number one contender for the tag titles. Some miscue here with Xavier Woods. LWO looks like they're going to get the victory. Chad Gable is grabbing Rey Mysterio on the outside, putting the ankle lock on him. Ultimately, out of all the chaos, War Raiders take advantage and they get the win. Mm-hmm. So War Raiders, they will be taking on Judgment Day here in due time on the Monday Night Raw side of things. So, you know, triple threat tag team matches, you don't, they're an interesting thing. I can tell you from experience of being around them in my time working on the indies, that's a lot of moving parts. They're very difficult to put together and make them all make sense. And where is everybody going to be at the right time? But if it goes well, it can be awesome. I was entertained by this. I love all three of these teams, and I was entertained by the complement of styles. Let's just say.
Yeah, no, I was too. This was a really fun match. I think, again, it was a lot to watch. Again, when you get that many teams together in the ring. But I think it all, you know, the War Raiders are rebranded back to kind of their original look and feel. And it's good that they got this win, because I think it shows that they're pushing that forward. I think it's going to be interesting to watch that matchup.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll stay tuned to that. We did see Zelina Vega versus Ivy Nile. Ivy Nile does get the win, so that's a big win for her. Obviously, she's American made, is still relatively new, at least just this presentation, you know, because even when they were feuding with the Wyatts, it was like Chad Gable still kind of recruiting them. They were still the Creed brothers. So now that they're all together. So I think important for Ivy Nile, she gets the win here. You know, time will tell if she can move her way up and be any kind of challenger in the women's division for a title. But
yeah, and again, like, Zelina Vega is such a strong competitor, so I feel like this was a good matchup where Zelina Vega, even though she got the loss, was able to put over that win for Ivy Nile.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
and one of the matches we had earlier in the night, Ludwig Kaiser versus Sheamus. Sheamus gets the win. There's history here between these two, obviously, over the last few months. This is very physical, as it's always going to be with Sheamus. The thing to note, and I love Joe Desitore getting to point it out, this is something that WWE has embraced again, is we can refer to history, we can call back on things, is this past Saturday, October 26th, was 15 years to the day since Sheamus had his first match on Raw, which is just, God, where did the time go?
It's just time flew by. It flies by when you're having fun, right?
Because he makes that debut on Raw in October 26th of 2009, and then it's less than 2 months later. It's in December at a tables match against John Cena, and he beats John Cena,
yeah.
Which was like in 2009 for some
one to beat John Cena
to beat John Cena and to be that new was just. Yeah, this is before Wade Barrett and Nexus do it. This is 2009. I mean, that was a big deal, and certainly that was a huge sign of WWE at the time, investing in Sheamus, thinking that he's a guy for the long term for the next era. Mm-hmm. And while Sheamus never rose to like Roman Reigns heights or ever got to John Cena's heights, he's pretty damn good and pretty damn good for a long time. And so it just spoke to the, what they saw in him. And I think that was an investment that hit. He's still here 15 years later. Yeah.
It definitely paid off for him. But what I like is I'm happy he got this win because I think he is very much in the title picture down the line. Maybe challenging Gunther. So this was, I think, important because I feel like his opponent being Kaiser, I think that's going to work into that a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him challenging a Gunther for a brief time before we get into the thick of Mania season. As I said earlier, I think that he would also work well for Bronson Reed for a guy. I mean, Bronson's, mm-hmm. you know, Sheamus is physical. So, I mean, him getting physical with Bronson would be, yeah. We'll keep an eye on that. But I'm a big Sheamus fan. Always have been. Fun guy, great guy. The last thing we'll note on, just because we're not going to do a podcast and not talk about Rhea Ripley, she has a pre-tape promo, a really great pre-tape promo, but just basically saying she's going to get her title back and you're going to have to kill her. So Rhea Ripley, for my money, I think she's in the definitely top five, absolutely, maybe top three of the most must-see attractions that WWE has right now. Full-time participants.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I literally was like, where's Rhea Ripley? Like, I was like, I want to see her. I mean, she is the attraction right now. Top three. I would agree with that 100%. You can't go to a signing or have a premium live event without her in a match.
And you know, in a business, I mean, and she just turned 28 earlier this month. And like, that's, you don't often see it anymore. Talent being in their 20s and reaching the peaks that she's at. Normally at this point now, roads traveled, Indies, Performance Center, mm-hmm. previous life as a football player, whatever. Normally you're in your early to mid 30s. The fact that she is still 2 years from 30 and she is at this peak level and has been at peak level, quite frankly, for the last couple of years, look at her Mania track record.
Sky's the limit for her. She's proven it. I feel like she can do no wrong right now.
she is, she to me is, and obviously it was a different time and there's a different ceiling and et cetera, et cetera. When I look at Rhea Ripley and all that she is and how just gravitating I see audiences. I see guys that are fawning over her, but then I see females in the audience that want to just dress as her and emulate her and look at her as some type of role model. So a win-win all around, right? Yeah. I think she is what the company might have thought or hoped that China could have been 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think China rose and China broke down some barriers. She fought men, but she was still a sex symbol and playboy. Like she hit on she fired on all the different levels. It never was fully seen through. I think, again, a lot of that was the time and place of where the company and the business was then. I think Rhea Ripley kind of is what China could have or should have been.
I mean, Rhea Ripley, we've heard her in previous interviews talk about how, like, when she first started at the PC, you know, she had, like, the long, long blonde hair. Like, she tried to fit a mold that mm-hmm. just wasn't working for her. And when you look at her early stuff, you're like, oh, yeah, that's her, but it's not it's not her.
Not really her. Yeah.
She wasn't true to herself. And so the fact that like she found herself and is able to truly kind of bring all of that out and use it creatively, you know, we've seen this journey and this evolution. So it's really just amazing to see. And I know that this is just the beginning. I mean, she's reached huge superstar status already, but I know that she's going to be, you know, breaking record books for the women's division.
I hope so. I mean, there ain't much more to do that she hasn't done, and I'm sure she's making good money. So I hope she doesn't get bored. I hope she doesn't just decide, I'm gonna take some time. Oh, I'm gonna go pursue another venture. Like, yeah, selfishly,
we gotta keep her.
Selfishly, I want to see her every week. So,
yeah.
So had an awesome 2024. Really excited to see what 2025 holds for Rhea Ripley. All right, that was Monday Night Raw. That was Raw tonight. Like I said, I mean, it was not a bad episode by no means.
No, it's certainly a go home episode.
It's a go home. It's just they're in the middle of building things, so there was no breaking news out of the episode. It was just build.
Yeah, which is fine. You need those episodes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was fun to cover it with you. We missed you, Jack.
I know, Jack. I don't know if Jack's internet's going to even allow him to watch this right now. His internet was kind of just all over the place. So hopefully he gets it figured out. But yeah, and this was fun. First time you and I one-on-one. This is a lot of fun. I guess first off, go ahead and give everybody give some cheap plugs. What are you doing? You're always doing things. I follow you now on social, and I love it because you're always doing things.
Where is she now?
I love it.
I'm helping my husband recover from surgery right now, so that's what I'm focused on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But the next few weeks, I have some shows here in Austin, Texas. So if you're local in the Texas area, just follow me on socials at Emily May Heller, and you'll see me announce it. Some really exciting stuff that I can't wait to share with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. So because I host, I ring announce, I do commentary, I do tons of stuff on the indie circuit. So you'll see me around.
That's awesome. I love it. Follow me at Justin LaBar. Try to be here every Monday with Jack and Em. Of course, every Sunday, Busted Open, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM, myself and Jonathan Hood. This past Sunday, we had Vic Joseph, the voice of NXT, on. So he was on just hours before Halloween Havoc. He gave us the exclusive on the wardrobe of what jacket he was going to wear, and he wore his jack-o'-lantern jacket. So
I saw that. That was very, very spooky for Halloween.
Yeah, always fun to do Busted Open every single Sunday. So check us out there if you have not done so. Thanks to all of you that are here on the podcast for Wrestling Inc. Again, Wrestling Inc. All throughout the week, Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, as Em said, Crown Jewel this weekend. So plenty of podcasts to get if you're subscribed to the Wrestling Inc. channel on whatever platform you fancy, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, X, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, they're everywhere. So whatever you fancy, we're here. Again, tweet at us. Let us know what you like about the podcast, where you're at, what are you doing, how are you taking us in your daily life. Always love to see that. I'll retweet it if you tweet at me. Mm-hmm. And of course, leave some 5-star comments. All kinds of talk about 5-star matches. What about 5-star comments? Do that.
Yeah. Five-star comments for the host right here. And happy Halloween, everyone.
Yes. Happy Halloween. Are you dressing up, Em?
So I have multiple outfits.
Really?
So I go all out for Halloween.
I'm not surprised by that, actually. I'm not.
Whoa, Justin. Yeah, I have multiple outfits.
It's not a bad thing, by the way.
So I have multiple outfits. Everyone follow me on socials because you'll see me debut them. And they're none of them are wrestling related, FYI. I don't necessarily do wrestling related Halloween costumes.
And that, boys and girls, is a tease. Follow her on social. We'll end it there because I can't find a better way to end it than a tease of Em's social media for her Halloween costumes. Thanks to everybody watching live in the chat. Thanks to all of you that choose us in audio podcast land. It's all good. It's all appreciated. Wrestling is great. We're here to bring the world together. Let's be positive. Let's have fun. Push out all the negativity. That's going to do it for the night. Be good. Be safe. Talk to you next time.